Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Jeanette Parker. I'm coming to you live from Lawrence, Kansas, and we are here at the National Medical Whistleblower Conference. Those of you who have been trying to get into our switchboard in regards to our webinars, I want to apologize, as we did have some technical difficulties today, and so therefore we didn't have enough power to get the switchboard properly operating. I want to let you know, however, you will not be losing the opportunity to have a chance to see the webinars that we showed today, because they will be rebroadcast, and I will be sending out an email letter to all of you that have wanted to participate and those that were considering wanting to participate. So I look forward to you all. And I do see I have two callers on the line, so let me see if I can get this caller on the line. Hello, you're on live. Who have we got here? Hello, you're on live. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? I've got a 401 number on the line, and I've just put you live. Hello? And I got a 7440 number, and I've got you live also. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, how are you doing? You're on Blog Talk Radio with Dr. Jeanette Parker here at Medical Whistleblower in Lawrence, Kansas. How are you?
I'm good. I didn't realize I was going to go on live, but I wanted.
And where are you from?
Ohio.
Oh, you're from Ohio. Okay. The Buckeye State, if I remember correctly.
Yes, it's Joni Fearing.
Hi, Joni. How you doing?
Hi. Unfortunately, I was one that couldn't get on today. I tried several times.
Yes, you were not alone. It's not your fault.
Yeah.
I assure you, it wasn't your fault. We did have some technical difficulties, so. We do have a very good little group here. We've had some very lively discussion, and although we weren't able to get the webinars up and running the way that we had hoped, they will still be broadcast later on.
Okay.
And as you can see, the Blog Talk Radio is working just fine. And I understand that you were wanting to also join us for tomorrow night's program, which is The Spirit Within.
Right, right. And I've had a lot of time today to look at your website and read your materials, and I'm so impressed, and I'm so glad you all are doing what you're doing.
Thank you very much.
Really vital work. It's so important. And I have had my own crisis and problem with the medical profession in my own story, but I've also been a whistleblower, as I told you yesterday, for other issues, environmental issues, which has caused a lot of harm in my career. So I can just understand fully how these concepts can help so many people who are working against the status quo, again, you know, trying to change any system, really, where greed and these issues are found. So I think it's just great to have found you all.
Yes, well, we're happy to have found you also. And just so that I get a little information on your bio before you come on tomorrow, if you would send me a real quick email with your bio, that would be helpful, and then
sure,
we would be able to properly introduce you.
Sure.
Today, just to let you know that we have a number of people here, and I'd like to have you meet a few of them.
Okay.
We kind of stopped to eat dinner here, but
I was hoping to hear your remarks tonight, and I have to leave shortly, but I would love to just say a few words to whomever, hear from
whomever. Okay. Well, we have from South Dakota. Judith Grant is a registered nurse, and she's been sharing with us her journey as a whistleblower in the medical community. I'll put her on with you.
Great.
You're live on the air. Hi, who am I speaking with?
Joni Fearing.
Hi, Joni. How are you again?
Good.
I'm sorry we couldn't get you in.
That's okay.
We're working to overcome those problems, and Dr. Jeanette is going to rebroadcast those segments that we weren't able to get you connected on. So.
Yeah, she said that.
I'll
be happy to see them.
Yes,
so.
The content was excellent. You'll be glad you did.
Yeah, so how are you involved?
I had a case, I've, you know, been an advocate for patients and staff for quite a long time and episodically have participated in exposing some untoward activities that were going against someone's rights as a patient, as a staff member, or whatever in the community and in the healthcare community. And the most recent, and at times I've had the repercussions because of it. At the present time, I'm still battling a case that actually began about 5 years ago when I was called into a consultation case and took it on because the person was special to me and found myself in the middle of the early phases of this banking fraud that has been exposed last year. And at that time, I had not any idea how deep was the involvement and what was really transpiring, and I just did what I was required by law to do. I'm a mandated reporter. I had no choice. I did what I was required to do, and then when I started experiencing extreme retaliation and all kinds of strange interference and lack of support and all kinds of consequences, I began to investigate why, because I wasn't getting the answers that I needed to be able to understand why this was happening. I had only done what I was required to do by law, and I was being punished for doing the responsible thing. And it really has been a journey. It's been an incredible journey, a painful journey, a journey of many losses and many, many sadness episodes. And also, I'm also blessed to be able to have met other people now that have also taken this pathway, and we're grateful to come to know one another, because it's a lonely place, and I think that's by design. When you are going against powerful folks that don't really want to be exposed, and even if it's inadvertent, even if you don't know that that's what you're doing, because you're only doing what you're required by law to do, nevertheless, that journey then becomes one that you become isolated and alienated, and your character is assassinated, and you become the target of a number of untoward events that really, including bogus criminal prosecutions and sabotaging of your records. And it's frightening. It's really frightening what can be done.
It
takes a significant effort to fight back. It really does. It's something that we need to become much more effective at doing, because lives are being totally destroyed and not all can be recovered.
Mm-hmm.
In that, but
well, I understand. I've been through similar situations here. We are Atomic City, and
okay.
I didn't know until I came back to Portsmouth 5 years ago, where I was born, that my father, what he was talking about when he worked at the A plant. I never knew what that was until I came back. That was the atomic plant,
and
a uranium enrichment facility about a half an hour north of where I live now. And 60% of the workforce comes from this town in this general area. So I got involved in the anti-nuclear activism, and it really has made my life very difficult here. And I can so relate to that lonely walk, that
mm-hmm.
where you're really seen as the enemy, like taking bread out of people's mouths.
And, yes.
Because it's all about jobs here. And my focus has really been to bring alternative energy jobs and alternative medicine to this very impoverished and very toxic. We have so much toxic industry illness here. So I'm hoping to combine.
I can only imagine.
Oh, and it's not just the nuclear. It's the coke plant and the steel mill and all that. But I hope to combine those two, and I'll talk a little bit more about this tomorrow evening. I have
mm-hmm.
a seminary background and was working on my ordination requirements here for about 2.5 years, and when I started fighting the nuclear industry here, I was told I would make a better nun, and I should move to California and join a convent.
You know, I've heard those kinds of things, or that I just need to be counseled by one.
Oh.
No. Yeah. Those kinds of you know, and it's interesting to hear it come from, you know, that someone else has had that same kind of jab tossed at them.
Well, you know, what's great about looking at this website, because I had a lot of time today to look at the videos and read the materials,
mm-hmm.
and this it's so wonderful to have that network of people who know, who have been there, who have had those similar experiences, and I wouldn't wish it on anybody, but
absolutely.
To know that there are others of us in the world who have these callings, and I truly believe for myself it's a calling, and that spiritual aspect for me has kept me going. If I didn't believe that God brought me back here for this reason and the other things that have happened with my medical problems in having a reaction to a prescription medication, which I could totally relate to some of the stories on the website,
mm-hmm.
if I didn't believe those were callings for me to carry on with work, I ran a foundation in New Jersey for
mm-hmm.
alternative medicine concerns, you know, promoting alternative medicine. I am now
mm-hmm.
here doing nuclear activism. So if I didn't believe that, I don't know what, I don't think I could cope. You know, I really don't think I could manage to do what I'm doing and have that lonely walk without knowing, really believing that that's a call for me. So those are the kinds of things I hope to be able to help others with. And
Jody, we were just talking about that earlier today, that you know, God puts us all together in very interesting ways and for specific purposes, and that when you have that as your overriding principle that you believe that you are following, and it is interesting to allow that influence to connect you with people that are of similar interests and experiences, and then we can find strength in one another's journey as well,
right.
and in the sharing.
Right,
and that is an important piece.
And it's not necessarily, you know, we all have different understandings of our faith, and it's, you know, we can still believe together that we are,
yes.
as you said, brought together for these reasons. I told Jeanette, I don't know how I got that email about the whistleblower conference; it just was there, and
mm-hmm.
I almost didn't even open it because I just thought it was one more thing, you know,
uh-huh,
from who
uh-huh.
knows where. So. It really,
I got referred to her at a time when I needed a very serious, supportive network at a very critical time for me. And if I had not met her at that time, I'm not sure I would have come through what I was going through at that moment. It was very difficult for me.
It's amazing that happened.
Just tremendous losses, and she was able to guide me through a lot of that and help me to realize that I wasn't alone, because that's what you feel. It truly is. You feel you're the only one because that's what you're told. That's what you're
mm-hmm.
made to believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, again, by design. And because, you know, united we stand, divided we fall.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's something that the enemy knows well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that it takes courage to reach out and share with others. And even if that's revealing our vulnerabilities and our you know, fears and our inability to overcome these things of our own accord. I think those are strengths, really, but we don't always see it as that. And I think you're right that maybe God puts us in different places at certain times for specific reasons because we have something we can bring to a greater effort.
Yeah.
And we are the most uniquely qualified in that moment to deliver that.
Yeah.
And I hope that for the international audience that may be listening to us, that each one of us will begin to appreciate that when you come upon an experience or an opportunity and it speaks to you, you are drawn to it, then explore that, allow that to happen,
yeah.
and begin to see what might come of that. Maybe your contribution is really critically needed and you have a piece of the puzzle that is so needed, and as well you can receive pieces for your own puzzle,
mm-hmm.
and it's so important. It really is.
Exactly. Well, it's so wonderful to talk to you, Judith.
Well, Joni, I'm delighted to talk to you, too, and I'm looking forward to hearing from you again tomorrow evening when we talk about the spirituality piece. And I'm going to give you back to Dr. Jeanette. And again, I look forward to it and hope we'll get a chance to meet sometime. And I'm going to be interested to hear how your work is going there and what you're able to do. I have been involved in alternative medicine myself for a long time. My clinic was literally destroyed by those that had other interests to pursue. And I'm hoping at some point in time to be able to go back to some of that because it's truly miraculous what we can do in
yeah.
cases that sometimes seem pretty hopeless.
Yeah.
And I'm a believer that all things come in time.
Amen.
And And patience is something we have to learn, especially if you're like me. You're not very patient. You have to learn that. God has ways of teaching us these things that we need to learn.
Yes.
And so anyway, I will give you back to Dr. Jeanette. And hello, audience. I hope that you're enjoying the Blog Talk Radio tonight. And we look forward to you joining us again. Here's Dr.
Great.
Jeanette.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Again, this is Dr. Jeanette Parker, and I'm coming to you live from Lawrence, Kansas. We are an advocacy group for those who wish to report medical fraud, abuse and neglect of patients, and human rights violations. And we are running the first ever National Medical Whistleblower Conference here in Lawrence, Kansas this weekend. And we are offering a variety of programs, and some of these programs will also be rebroadcast for those who were unable to get in on the registration the first time round. I also want to make you aware of the fact that Medical Whistleblower, we provide our informational materials and our educational programs free and at no cost. And so if you are wishing to receive information, you have only to send us an email. And my email address is medicalwhistleblower@gmail.com. Again, that's medicalwhistleblower@gmail.com. All of our brochures come in PDF files, and I send them by email, as we have limited resources financially, and we're not able to print brochures generally. Should you, however, be unable to obtain these brochures that way, and you want to do it by post, and you're willing to pay for the printing costs, the materials are also available that way if you pay for the printing costs. And my address is Dr. Jeanette Parker, Medical Whistleblower, at P.O. Box C, Lawrence, Kansas, 66044. And I just wanted to give you a little update today of what we've been up to this morning. We did start our talk a little bit about bullying in the workplace and how that is used to intimidate whistleblowers, to silence them and make them withdraw their allegations and complaints. And then we went on to talk about how trauma, post-traumatic stress, can impact a whistleblower's life, whether or not they get support or not, and how we need to move towards a pattern of healing with whistleblowers by allowing them to first have the necessities of life, shelter, food, housing, and then also have security within their home environments, and then eventually feel that they are safe in their outside world and eventually move into more fuller appreciation of their own lives. I have with me today several other whistleblowers. You have heard Judith and Joni. And I'd like to have you talk to listen perhaps now to a man who spent a good portion of his life working in the research field. And he has been a researcher in Australia and also here in the United States. So I'll let him introduce himself.
Hello. My name is Steve Robbins. I'm have a doctoral degree in microbiology and training in neurovirology. My experience in whistleblowing has to do with research and the difficulties in trying to bring certain endeavors and research to the public and find out about how research has been compromised by people who have conflicts of interest and other agendas. So my experiences really don't directly relate to the medical whistleblowing in healthcare, but they relate to things that contribute to healthcare. And a lot of the experiences I've had have, in terms of how I've felt and how I've been treated, are virtually identical to what you've heard by from others. So I think that's really all I can say right now. But you know, I'm very happy to participate in the group here in Lawrence, and I'm hopeful that this can grow into something that's very big and strong, and that those of you out there listening will follow up and participate and maintain contact with Dr. Parker and this group, because I hope it can grow into something that's much stronger and we can bring about some needed changes to the way things are being done now. So I'll give you back to Dr. Parker now. Thank you.
So some personal perspectives, everyone, in regards to what it's like to be a whistleblower. I just wanted to bring you up to date a little bit about some of the more recent developments in our whistleblower quest. Today is September 11th, and of course this is a day that many of us remember that we lost many American and other country citizens in the collapse of the Twin Towers. And so in honor of the persons who lost their lives and those who went to help them, we are mounting an effort to have whistleblowers, especially in the national security area, to be honored. And we have two groups currently working on this legislative action in Washington, D.C. this day, and that is one reason why we're so small in numbers here in Kansas. And one of those groups is the National Whistleblower Center with David Colapinto, Attorney David Colapinto. And the other is the Governmental Accountability Project with Attorney Tom Devine. One is working with the House bill for whistleblower protection, and the other is working with the Senate bill for whistleblower protection. In addition, I wanted to point out that not only do we need good laws and legislation, and we clearly need good legislators to help us draft good legislation to protect our whistleblowers, we also need good enforcement. And one of the areas that I feel most strongly about, because of my connection with law enforcement, I feel very strongly about having proper enforcement of civil rights protections, proper enforcement of the Title 18 Code provisions in regards to intimidation of witnesses, obstruction of justice, anti-stalking laws, laws that protect persons who are victims of crime, so crime victims compensation and other kinds of laws like that, that often pertain to our medical whistleblowers when they step forward to try to tell truth to power. I also, on a personal note, to any of you who know me there in the national security area, I'd like to tell you all that I was deeply grieved at losing FBI agent John O'Neill in the towers on September 11th, and also to bring to your attention the loss of Assistant U.S. Attorney Tom Wales, who was shot and died as a result of his wounds, and he was shot on October 11th, 2001. And for me, these events are very personal tragedies. I'd like to encourage you all to participate with us in the future with our show tomorrow night. We will be doing The Spirit Within, which is a show about how you find personal strength, spiritual strength from inside your own life, inside your own cultural perspective. Each of us have strength that we bring to our lives, and we need to retouch that base support, to retouch with our religious faith, to retouch with our spiritual beginnings, to retouch with our ethical and moral groundings so that we can see ourselves through whistleblowing experience. And I am very privileged and honored to have several very accomplished persons with strong spiritual strength to lead us in that discussion tomorrow night. And it will be here at Blog Talk Radio starting at 6 o'clock. And I hope that we won't have the same technical difficulties we had today. So I want you to bear with us at being a little later at our start today. I think I'd like to also introduce to you a man who's been a spiritual support for me. He's here in my hometown, and one cannot talk enough about why it's important to have people who are there for you when you need them and who are in your community and in your family and close to you. And this gentleman is a researcher and a doctorate in economics. And he is the director of the Ad Astra Institute here in Lawrence, Kansas. Ad Astra Institute is a think tank for providing analysis of questions that are important to Kansas voters in regards to statewide policy decisions that would be wise for our governmental officials to be properly informed on. And as you all know, health reform being a big issue this past year, we are looking at many, many very active discussions on how to better our health care system in the United States. And Dr. David Perez has assisted us in understanding some of those policy decisions in regards to their economic analysis. And so with no further ado, I'm going to turn you over to David Perez.
I'm not sure what to tell you. Janet pointed out that I'm interested in healthcare, among other issues. We've been doing a lot of work on how would one go about creating universal coverage for everybody. And like a lot of economists, I've become convinced that you can't really do it efficiently without a single-payer system, which means something like Medicare for all. Any other system results in a kind of adverse competition that economists call adverse selection, which means insurance companies get involved in a race to the bottom. Insurance companies try to avoid paying claims because that's the way to maximize profits. Insurance companies are required by their investors to do what they can to return a profit. And it's not a matter of being good or bad. It's a matter of doing what the market demands of them, and what it demands is to minimize the amount of risk they take on from people that actually need coverage, maximize the risk you take on from people who don't need coverage. So that means rejecting people for health insurance that most need it, and rejecting the claims of those who have the largest claims. And that's an expensive proposition. Turns out it's costly to keep people from having health coverage. And the way you do it is you hire an army of clerks to work through ways of detecting who the people are going to be expensive and cut them off. And it takes 20 to 30% of all the money you give to the insurance companies to keep you from getting the claims you need. So just having an insurance company takes 20 to 30% off the top of the money we spend on healthcare. And there isn't really a very strong answer to that except to have a single payer, government-supported Medicaid for all. I'll give you back to Janet.
I can see we have another caller on the line here, so we have a 401 area code here. I hope that you're able to hear me when I put you on. We're having trouble with our system getting you on here. Okay. It looks like we're not able to get you on here, so you might want to call back in. It looks like our switchboard hasn't got you up. I'm fluctuating in my power here. We have had some technical difficulties in regards to the power issue here in terms of being able to get people on the air expediently. So for everyone who's still listening, I wanted to reiterate that we will be again on tomorrow night at 6 o'clock with the Spirit Within. And we will look into the value of our spiritual strength in facing adversity, which I believe is a very important part of being a medical whistleblower or a whistleblower in any field. I want to thank you all for joining us with us here at Medical Whistleblower. And I look forward to being able to talk to you again tomorrow night. And so this is Medical Whistleblower signing off now. And I want to thank you very much for listening to us tonight.